This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, November 14th, 2016. I'm Caleb Brown. When your presidential legacy lives by the pen and the phone, it may also die by the pen and the phone. The latter part of President Obama's administration has been marked by not including Congress in various decisions, from clean power to deportations to Obamacare. Andrew Grossman, an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute, says much of that can be undone in President-elect Trump's first 100 days.
President Obama and Congress did not play nice after the election of 2010. And so President Obama famously talked about soldiering on with a pen and a phone. So what does that mean now that Donald Trump has been elected president?
It means everything. You know, live by the pen and the phone, die by the pen and the phone. The executive actions undertaken by the Obama administration in lieu of working with Congress to pass legislation are potentially all vulnerable to being undone by a Trump administration in fairly short order. We're not talking months or years. We're talking a first 100 days agenda.
All right. So to begin, obviously, the Affordable Care Act is looms large, and that is something that Donald Trump campaigned on repealing. That's something that the House and Senate have been very keen on doing. They've passed repeal bills dozens of times, if not more than 100 times, to essentially get rid of the law. But what could President Trump, as a regulatory matter, do to either speed that up or at least stymie efforts to keep the law around?
There's a lot that can be done, and the model for it really is what the Obama administration has done to date. Look, for example, at the individual mandate, where to maintain popularity for the law and avoid damaging political consequences, the administration delayed its imposition and created any number of regulatory exceptions. The Trump administration could potentially create via regulation very broad-based hardship exceptions that exempt more or less everybody from the individual mandate. The same is true of that grudging accommodation that the Obama administration contrived for religiously motivated organizations that don't wish to provide certain types of insurance coverage. That can be entirely reworked in short order, as potentially even as part of a settlement for the large number of lawsuits that are going on over that policy. And you know, I think a third point to note is the cost-sharing payments that the Obama administration has made to insurance companies to coerce them and impel them to participate in the individual market program, the so-called Obamacare exchanges. Arguably, these are unlawful. That's something that a district court here in D.C. decided. And if the Trump administration were to adopt that view, those payments could stop overnight, and that would effectively accelerate the death spiral of the Obamacare system, with the result that Congress would simply have to act to repeal it and put something else in place.
And let's be clear, those cost-sharing payments were not authorized by Congress.
Right, exactly. As the court held, they're necessary to make the markets work, but at the same time, there's no actual legal authority for them. And you know, potentially, there's a very serious constitutional issue lurking there by the fact that the Obama administration has been making those payments.
A court recently ruled that the CFPB's structure is unconstitutional. Does that play anything into what a president can do without consulting Congress?
It makes an enormous difference. The CFPB, as conceived, would have been this enormously independent agency with broad-based authority over huge swaths of the economy and basically divorced from any type of presidential control. That means that if you have a new administration coming into office, they can't change the trajectory of the agency. But with this decision, should it hold, the result is that of direct presidential control over the head of the agency. In fact, Richard Cordray, the head of the agency, potentially could be dismissed under the D.C. Circuit's opinion, with the result that a Trump administration could put in place somebody that hews more to its views.
Now, libertarians like immigration broadly, but there are actions that a President Trump would want to undo that the Obama administration did with regard to delayed action on deportation of young immigrants.
Right. Obviously, libertarians are split on different types of immigration issues, but I think there is a broad consensus that the executive actions that President Obama took on immigration probably exceed his constitutional authority and may even be in violation of statute as well. Those the so-called deferred action for childhood arrivals, or DACA, as well as the DAPA policy, these were implemented merely as executive memoranda, and those memoranda can be revoked in short order.
All right. So what are some of the other regulatory issues where a President Trump could act quickly, specifically with respect to policies that Obama implemented as executive action?
Well, it's the big ones. I mean, moving beyond Obamacare, you've got the Clean Power Plan, which was the EPA's plan to comprehensively regulate electricity generation across the country. It was stayed by the Supreme Court, and there's a decision on its lawfulness pending before the D.C. Circuit. That litigation can be settled. President Trump could come in on day one with an executive order that demands that the EPA cease acting to implement the Clean Power Plan, and that it begin a rulemaking to revoke it. On this and so many other issues, the Obama administration relied on very aggressive statutory interpretations that few courts would find were actually compelled by the statutory text, the result being that a subsequent administration, like a Trump administration, can come in and adopt a different view of the statutory text. Another area where you're likely to see something like that is under the Clean Water Act, the so-called Waters of the United States rule, or WOTUS. Which many criticize for giving federal authorities power over every puddle and ditch across the country.
And you're not overstating it. I just want to be clear, you're not overstating that when you say every puddle and every ditch.
Right. If you've got some property and you want to build a house on it, if there's a puddle there that's a persistent puddle, that's something where you would have to get a permit to do that under this WOTUS rule. That's something that can be effectively put aside really just starting on day one.
There have to be some other more minor issues that are not as big issues that could nonetheless be thrown out under a President Trump.
Well, I wouldn't use the word minor. I think there are some pretty major things. But let me just give you a laundry list. There's the Department of Education's Dear Colleague letter regarding college's obligation to resolve sexual harassment and sexual abuse cases, which many have criticized for violating due process norms. There is the waiver of mandatory work requirements under the 1996 Welfare Reform Act. There's any number of executive orders that regulate government contractors in ways that the Obama administration simply couldn't get through Congress, typically to benefit labor unions. There's the net neutrality rule. Really, all of these actions that were undertaken simply by executive fiat can be undone by executive fiat, and that makes this unlike any other presidential transition that we've ever seen.
When Donald Trump speaks or has spoken on the campaign trail, he has made it very clear that he's just talking about the last 8 years. That he's just talking about executive actions that have been taken in the last 8 years. So what does that mean? What difference does that make?
There really is a limited look-back period here for a couple of reasons. One reason is that the Obama administration has relied so heavily on executive power, whereas previous administrations have worked with Congress to get their ideas, their policies, wrought into law. It's much harder to change a law, but when a president does something on his own or an agency does it on its own, there really is the possibility that a subsequent administration can simply reverse it. Another thing is that the Obama administration, in a policy sense, has been so aggressive in furthering its agenda because it hasn't felt the need to work with Congress. And so you have so many very controversial policies that it's enacted. And I think a third reason is that the fact that it struck out on its own meant that it had to adopt policies in a way that perhaps was half-baked. They couldn't control all of the details because they were hemmed in by statutes in certain respects. And the result was that a lot of policy compromises from their point of view that I think have proven somewhat unpopular. These are going to be things that are likely to be on the chopping block.
So why not reach back further?
Well, the question is, you know, it's certainly possible with longstanding executive orders, regulations, but I think the focus now is going to be on what's happened over the past few years because that's where the attention is and that's what people are thinking about.
And something that we discussed just briefly before we started recording is the idea that certain executive orders stay in the Federal Register and then laws are written that accommodate those executive orders?
Well, you've got this huge body of outstanding law and tradition and practice that people are accustomed to. You know, when you have an executive order of long standing, when you have a particular practice under a statute of long standing, businesses adjust to it, people become used to it, and the costs and burdens of it are just baked into whatever it is that people do. And so when you talk about looking back, you know, farther back than 8 years, there's a real question as to whether you're going to be upsetting settled expectations that people may have. Really, the biggest bang for your buck in terms of reducing burdens, reducing costs, and getting rid of controversial policies is going to be focusing on what's been done just these past few years under the Obama administration.
Andrew Grossman is an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and with Cato's iOS app. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.